Today, our guest is David Espindola. David is the co-founder of Intercepting Horizons. Intercepting Horizons provides strategic advisory services for the exponential era. They prepare leadership teams to intercept new trends and converging technology vectors impacting their future. David is also the co-author of a book called The Exponential Era, Strategies to Stay Ahead of the Curve in an Era of Chaotic Change and Disruptive Forces. Enjoy the interview. Welcome to the Business Bookshelf podcast. I'm your host, Lance Pepler. Like you, I'm a lifetime learner and find books one of the best ways to do this. The purpose of this podcast, then, is to interview authors of new business books, get insights into their thinking, lives, and businesses, all in a light, friendly manner. I don't group my podcasts into themes, but this is the second podcast that we will be discussing exponential strategies. Last week, I spoke to Aaron Baer about his book, Reimagining Innovation. And today I speak to David Espindola about the book he has co-authored titled The Exponential Era, Strategies to Stay Ahead of the Curve in an Era of Chaotic Change and Disruptive Forces. Exponential strategy, growth, and technology are topics close to my heart. And so I'm very happy to talk to David. So welcome to the podcast, David.
Thank you very much, Lance. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you, David. David, where am I speaking to you from?
I am in Minnesota, which is in the central north region of the United States.
Great. Is it looking like it's coming out of winter? Is there spring in the air or not yet?
Not quite yet. We have very long winters here in Minnesota. And January tends to be the coldest month. But fortunately, this year, we're having a pretty mild winter. So I'm enjoying that.
Okay. When does spring actually start and it gets warmer there?
Well, April is when things start to look moving the right direction. So, you know, if you want to come visit Minnesota, I would say the safest time period would be between May and October. Those are the nicest months. Other than that, you're going to be cold.
One of my wife and I, one of our dreams is to get, you know, a camper van and just spend like 6 months touring America. So we'll try and visit you in that time period.
Yeah. Let me know. I'd love to meet with you face to face.
Super, David. Now, could we start, could you give us an overview of your career to date and the forming of your company, Intercepting Horizon?
Yeah, I'll be happy to do that. So I started my career in Silicon Valley. I worked at two very fast-growing technology startup companies that one of them grew fivefold during my tenure and reached over $400 million in revenues. Mm. And we actually were able to do an IPO. So that was a fantastic beginning for my career. And then after that Silicon Valley experience, I actually went to work for Oracle, which you know very well.
Yeah.
I spent 10 years of my life at Oracle. I was a senior director of consulting services there, and I did a number of very large, complex implementation of Oracle technologies in a variety of different industries. So then after I left Oracle, I started what I call my CIO career path. And so I had a boss that I really respected, and he offered me a job to be groomed for a CIO career. And I learned a lot from him. And then I became the CIO of a software company in Chicago called Flexera Software. And then after that, I decided that I wanted to be done with my corporate career. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I was at a point in my life when I was comfortable doing that. And so that's when I actually started two companies. I started IlluminaTech, which I'm still running today. So IlluminaTech offers digital technology solutions to help organizations accelerate their digital transformation journeys. And then Intercepting Horizons, which is a strategic advisory services firm that I started with Michael Wright.
With Michael Wright. And he's also the co-author of the book we're speaking about today, hey?
Absolutely, correct.
And And that book is called The Exponential Era. And I read it. Thank you so much for sending me a copy. I really enjoyed it. And it's a you know, exponential technology, exponential growth is an area I have a deep interest in myself. And so I read it in much interest and I would recommend it to other people. Could you give us an overview of the book and also, you know, why did you go about writing it? Did you have something particular to say in it? And, you know, what is the purpose of writing it?
So when we started Intercepting Horizons, we felt that there was a need to contextualize the fast changes they're all experiencing right now and to articulate it in such a way that people could understand that in this new environment, we're living through changes that our brains sometimes can't keep up with because humans tend to think linearly, but technology grows exponentially. And so we thought that there were some things that we needed to explain. For instance, you know, the converging technologies that are creating this new ecosystem, driving these changes, and how companies go about doing strategic planning. And we felt that the strategic planning practices of the past would not make companies successful in this new era that we coined the exponential era. Yeah. So, you know, before strategic planning process, at least from my experience, was a process in which you would try to plan out, you know, 5+ years, and you would typically spend an entire year doing that planning process, and you would end up with a very long, thick stack of paper with lots of detail about what you're going to do for the next several years.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the current environment where things are changing, you know, in months, you can't do that, right? You can have an overall goal and vision for the organization, but the specific initiatives, the strategic planning process needs to be a lot more dynamic than it used to be in the past. And so Michael and I spent about a year just talking about this. You know, we're in the early stages of creating the company, putting together the services that we wanted to bring to the market. And we felt that strategic planning was a specific area that we had a lot of experience in. We've both come from technology industries where we've seen how quickly things can change and how you need to be prepared for those changes. You know, Michael spent a lot of time in the semiconductor industry, which is driven by Moore's Law. And, you know, but the reality is that today, every industry is being digitized. And therefore, every industry is subject to Moore's Law. So what used to be a specific challenge in the technology industry now impacts all businesses because all businesses today are technology businesses. So that was sort of the impetus for writing the book. And then we started working through it and started thinking about, you know, how do we organize it? What should we talk about? And that's how we developed it.
So could you give us some insight into what the strategic planning process looks like, or SPX in your, you've got an acronym which stands for Strategic Planning for the Exponential Era. And I must tell you, David, that I've done some research into this myself and try to figure it out myself. And, you know, you say like the as-is situation now, what will it be in 1 year's time, 3 years' time, 5 years' time with the doubling factor of Moore's Law that you mentioned? So could you give us an overview of how would you do strategic planning? Would you do it for 6 months, a year? Would you do it by industry? Could you give us an insight into how that would look?
Yeah. So, you know, the main premise behind SPX is that you need to be able to do strategic planning on an ongoing basis. So it's not a 6 month project. It's not a 1 year project. It's a everyday project. So you got to live and breathe strategic planning every single day. And so the way we think about strategic planning, it's a continuous loop. And that process is embedded in our methodology, which we call SPX. So let me give you one example. I'm currently reading a book by Bob Iger, who was recently hired CEO of Disney. So he wrote this wonderful book called The Ride of a Lifetime. And in it, Bob talks about they had a centralized strategic planning group. And this group was responsible for all the key decisions within the organization. And they would go through this very painstaking, slow, analytical process for every single decision, every key strategic decision that was made within Disney. And when Bob was running for the CEO job, he addressed the board. And I have a quote from him here that I'd like to mention, because
please
I think
do.
It really illustrates, you know, why this is so important. So Bob said, the world is moving so much faster than it did even a couple years ago. And the speed with which things are happening is only going to increase. Our decision-making has to be straighter and faster. And I need to explore ways of doing that. So, you know, this was 15 years ago when he was just starting, but he had this, this vision, right? He saw what was coming. And I think it's fascinating to see Bob talk about this 15 years ago. And now things have accelerated even faster, right? And so, you know, you can't possibly have a central strategic planning organization that's going to go through analysis paralysis for every single decision. You're not going to survive in that environment. So what we are suggesting within SPX is that you have this ongoing continuous loop that never ends. And
right.
we've broken it up into, we actually have four loops that are part of this flywheel. And if you'd like, I can go through each of the...
Yeah, please do. That would be brilliant.
Flywheel.
Okay, please do.
So first and foremost, we have what we call two foundational components, which are culture and executive engagement. So in the book, we offer several examples of companies that have been able to turn around and do well. And I think the classic example is Microsoft. When Nadella came into Microsoft, you know, he found an environment, a culture that gave a lot of weight to being smart and being smarter than other people. So there's a lot of, you know, people trying to prove that they were smart and not necessarily a lot of teamwork. And Adela realized that in order to be successful in this new era, he needed to change that culture. It had to be all about teamwork, all about doing the right things, keeping up with changes, bringing in innovation, and that culture was going to prevent Microsoft from being successful. So one of the things that he focused on from the very beginning was changing the culture. And we think that's really fundamental. You really need to understand your culture. And if there are things in the culture that prevents you from being successful, you need to address that as a top priority. And obviously that can only happen if the senior executive team is engaged with the organization. So Andy Grove said that change happens on the edge. You know, he says that snow melts on the edges, right? And he has this analogy to business. And so in order for executives to really understand what's going on in the organization, they really need to reach out to the edges of the organization. They need to talk to the people that are in the front lines, that really see the customer. They need to be in touch with the edge of the organization. They can't be isolated in a boardroom somewhere and just have the information being filtered up through the chain of the organization.
Right.
So that's another foundational component. So we got culture and we got executive engagement. And then we have the four loops. So the four loops basically start with what we call a horizoning. So horizoning is the process by which you're going to try to detect the early signals. So, you know, one of the key concepts of the exponential era is that when technologies are growing exponentially, you see this exponential curve, which is basically flat for a period of time. It doesn't seem like things are changing very fast. They seem like fairly flat, and you don't think, you know, whatever changes are happening under the surface, you don't think they're going to impact you because you're just not seeing it. But then it hits an inflection point. And once it hits that inflection point, it changes extremely fast, right? So the curve hits an elbow, and then from that elbow, it goes straight up. And so if you wait until that change is obvious to everyone else, then you're already behind the curve. And a lot of times it's impossible to catch up. So it's very important in the very early stages of your strategic planning process for you to go through this phase that we call horizoning. And horizoning is really all about understanding the early signals, detecting those early signals, so that you can then make some decisions about what specific areas of the market you want to engage in, which technologies are impacting your company, what are some of the new capabilities that you need to acquire, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, now, Dr. Rita McGraw would say it's seeing around corners. And then the six Ds are obviously like Peter Diamandis' six Ds of digital disruption, where you're exactly right, you know, the deception phase, and then all of a sudden it's the breakthrough and the disruption, the demonetization. And then you're actually in trouble if you haven't moved already.
Right. And I love Rita McGraw's book. I read it and I actually had a chance to do an interview with her. And there's a lot of synergies between what she wrote and what's in our book. So she did a fantastic job, and she really emphasizes, you know, exactly what we're talking about here, which is detecting the early signals. But then, you know, we move into the next loop in the flywheel, which is generate insights. So now that you got all this new information, you're catching the signals, you know, what do you do with it, right? So generate insights means doing a lot of experiments. So we encourage clients to very early in the process, run experiments, get your hands dirty, play with the technology, get as much learning in the organization as you possibly can. Do, you know, what in the startup world we call MVPs, right? Minimum viable products. Do prototypes. Do those types of things that are going to help you learn what this change really means to you, to your business processes, your organization. And then from there, you know, once you've had those experiments and you got some data that you can work with, then the next step in the flywheel is to formulate what we call a rough plan. So we use this term rough plan. This is a term that comes from manufacturing resource planning. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's your first cut, right? And we call it a rough plan because we want to make it abundantly clear that planning is never fixed. You're always changing it, right? So it's not like you're going to create this plan and you're going to follow it for the next 5 years. It doesn't happen that way. You're constantly getting your continuous feedback loop where your plan is constantly subject to change. But you got to start somewhere, right? You have to have some kind of a plan. So we say, you know, look at your risks, look at the opportunities, look at your capabilities, then map those three things, and from there, decide your priorities. And when we talk about priorities, and this is another thing that I love about Bob Iger's book, is that, you know, when he was going through this process, this is really interesting process that he went through when he was working with a consultant that was helping him put together a campaign for, you know, running for the CEO job. And the consultant told him, Bob, one of the key things that you need to do is you need to define the priorities and you need to articulate those priorities very clearly so people understand what your future plans are. And then Bob started working on his priorities and he started listing them out. And he was like, you know, priority number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And the consultant said, stop. You know, you can't have 6 priorities or 7 priorities or 8 priorities. You have to have at the most 3 priorities, because if you have more than 3 priorities, you basically have no priorities. And so, you know, he understood that and he actually ended up creating just 3 strategic priorities for Disney. But those 3 priorities that he chose, they were so well-defined, so clear, so long-lasting that he basically said, you know, for my entire career as CEO of Disney, those are the three priorities that we focused on for 15 years. So, you know, it's really, really important that you understand the priorities and that you focus on, you know, not a dozen priorities, but three priorities.
Three priorities.
And then, so continuing on with the SPX process, we go into our fourth loop, which is the implementation process. Mm. And what we mean by implementation is to actually take those priorities and go to the market with those priorities. But, you know, don't go big bang. Don't go, you know, and create this huge change that you actually don't know if it's going to work or not, right? So start small, segment your market, segment the specific areas that you want to run this early implementation slash experiment with, and then slowly start getting feedback from the market. And if the feedback is positive, then you scale. If the feedback is negative, then either you have to change your hypothesis, make some tweaks to it, or you got to cut that altogether and just move on to the next one. So that's, in essence, the process that we talk about in SPX and that we describe in detail in the book.
Sure. That is awesome. And David, I am very lucky because I went to the particular page in your book that's got this flywheel. So and people need to buy it, and I'll give you the name of the book now again. But let me just summarize it quickly. So culture and behaviors, executive engagement, and then you've got the identify and monitor horizons, generate insights, formulate a rough plan, implement, and then scale and terminate initiatives. Those are the kind of areas of your flywheel that I really haven't probably ever seen such a comprehensive grouping of activities in one diagram and one methodology before.
Yeah, so we put a lot of thought into it, and we thought that this would be a easy to understand, comprehensive set of processes that companies can follow in their strategic planning process. Now, you know, companies don't have to follow it exactly the way we set it up, right? Every company is unique. Every company has a different way of doing things. This is just a guideline, right? But if people want to follow this guideline, we believe they will do well in the exponential era. And that's why we wanted to lay it out in detail.
It's excellent. Now, is this something that you offer through Intercepting Horizons? Is this the services that you offer from your company?
Yeah, so through Intercepting Horizons, we do several things. So we develop intellectual property. So PX is an example of that. We are also in the process of launching a conference. Unfortunately, it had to be postponed a couple of times due to COVID, but we're planning on launching the conference, hopefully later this year. We have some research services that we provide as well. So companies that are interested in, for instance, detecting the early signals, one of the things that we recommend is really looking at patent databases, because you can really see through the patent databases where people are investing, where there's innovation coming out. Ah. And it gives you some really interesting insight. And we've used it several times in our consulting activities to help our clients see how things are changing in their industry. And so we provide those services as well. And obviously, you know, we do the traditional consulting services as well.
And you offer an unbelievably good webcast. And I'm only saying that because I've been featured on it. Called the Exponential Era webcast. And I see on the website, you know, www.interceptinghorizons.com. It's got pictures of the webcast. And there I am in an episode next to Rita McGrath. So you can't get much better than that.
Yeah, we've been very lucky of getting some top thought leaders to come talk to us, and we've had a lot of fun with it. You know, we wanted to do it more frequently, but it's the reality of it is that, you know, there's only so much time and there's only so much that we can plan and execute. And so, you know, the podcast is not something that we do on a weekly basis. We may have an episode, you know, every month or two, but it's something that we enjoy doing, and it's part of, you know, a thought leadership and sharing knowledge with others and learning from others and sharing that with the community.
So, David, just tell me about this event again. Where, I don't think you said when it was going to be held. Can you tell us what your time frame is for it?
Well, I the reason why I haven't told you is because I don't know.
Okay. I'll put it on my website as well when you come out. I've got a section on the podcast website that lists activities and stuff of guests. So I'll put it on there when I hear from you about it.
But I'll give you some additional information. So it's called the Contacts Conference. So Contacts stands for Conversion Technologies in the Exponential Era. And we're actually partnering with a local university here in Minnesota, University of St. Thomas. Mm. And we were initially planning on doing this last June. And then we had to, you know, COVID hit. And so we postponed to October. And then obviously October didn't happen. And now we're thinking, you know, it's going to be 2021. And we are in conversations with them right now, trying to figure out, you know, when do we do this? We're thinking potentially June, if things go well with the vaccines. We don't know. It could be later in the fall. So we're still trying to figure out the best timing for this. And, you know, we feel that it's really important that this is a in-person conference, because it's an opportunity to network, and it's a local event, and we want people to have an opportunity to get to know each other and to really experience the conference in a very personable kind of way. You know, we may do a hybrid with some online components to it, but we were hesitant to just do it online. And so we decided to postpone it, and hopefully it will come out either this summer or in the fall.
Well, I see if you go to the website, which is once again interceptinghorizons.com, and you go to community and events, then I guess that's where it'll be. There's a placeholder there already for it, but without a date at the moment.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. We also have a website, contactsconference.com.
Okay.
There's a little bit more detail there on, you know, what we're planning on talking about and some of the speakers and so on. But, you know, that information will probably get updated as we get closer to the event. And once again, the date is TBD because we don't know yet.
Well, it seems very unlikely that I'll be able to attend, because South Africans are being barred from coming to America because, believe it or not, we've got our own strain of COVID. It's the South African version of COVID. I don't know how we created our own version of COVID, but we have.
Yeah, you know, and unfortunately, we're seeing more and more of that, right? So we just learned of a new variant in Brazil. We just learned yesterday that variant is now present in Minnesota. So unfortunately,
oh really? You got your own version?
Well, it's a Brazilian version that's in Minnesota now. So you know, we're starting to see the virus mutate and we're seeing different variants, and I just hope that the vaccine will be effective against all these variants, right?
And that's very unlikely, surely. I think we need to get a good mask, because we'll be wearing one for the next few years at least.
It's possible. We you know, these are the types of things that, you know, it's interesting, right? Because it ties in with this whole idea of strategic planning. And I think COVID is your classic example of a black swan, right? This is something nobody was ready for. Nobody understood the consequences and the changes that would be required due to you know, the restrictions of COVID. And so now imagine if you had put together a 5-year plan and you were going to stick to that plan no matter what. And then COVID hit, right? I mean, you'd be dead, right? I mean, it's just not possible. And so everything changed with COVID, and we had to adapt, and we had to quickly change our plans.
Yeah.
And the same thing applies to technology. Technology is going to bring unprecedented changes at unprecedented speeds, and you can't just stick to a plan that was, you know, put together 5 years ago. You need to be adaptable. So that's why we think it's so important that you are constantly working your strategic plan, experimenting, getting new insights, detecting the early signals, trying things out in the market, getting feedback. It's a constant loop that never really ends.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you completely. So David, your book is called The Exponential Era, Strategies to Stay Ahead of the Curve in an Era of Chaotic Changes and Disruptive Forces. It's available on Amazon and all sorts of good retailers. So, and thank you so much for spending time with us. I really appreciate it. And I really enjoyed your book.
Thank you, Lance. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me here today.
Fantastic. And I hope you, the listener, found this as interesting and useful as I did. If you'd like to contact me, then please do. My email is lance@ideastorm.co.za. And the website, you can go to the businessbookshelfpodcast.com, and that's the website for the podcast. If you've got an author and you've read a book, whether it's, you know, Dr. Rita McGraw or anything, well, I've interviewed her already. But if you've got an author and you want me to interview that author, then please let me know and I'll try my best to do so. So until next time, stay well, stay safe. So thank you so much, David. I'll speak to you again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you, Lance. Take care.